Mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, from God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is from John 15, the Gospel, and our theme, as your bookmark says, and everybody should have gotten one of these if you came a little bit late. Maybe you can get one later if you don't have it now, but you can maybe someone can share one with you in your pew if you don't have one. Just a bookmark we're going to refer back to. It says, loved on the top of the one side and sent on the other. That's our theme for today. In our sermon today, we want to ask two very important questions. What is my identity? That is, who am I? And what is my purpose in life? Don't you think those are important questions that everybody should ask at one time in their life or another? While walking through the forest one day, a man found a young eagle, and he took it home, and he put it, it had fallen out of its nest, so he took it home, he put it in his barnyards, and real quickly it started eating with the chickens and acting like the chickens. It really thought it was a chicken. One day a naturalist came by, someone who studied nature, and he said to this man, this farmer, why is the king of all the birds confined to living in a barnyard like a chicken? The farmer said, well, ever since I took him in and fed him the chicken feed and let him be with the chickens, he doesn't remember anymore that he's an eagle. So I just let it be. Still, it has the heart of an eagle, replied the naturalist. Surely he can be taught to fly. So he lifted the eagle up in the air, and he said, you belong to the sky, king of all the birds. Stretch out your wings and fly. But the eagle was confused. And he looked down and saw the chickens, and he hopped right back down to be with them and to start pecking the chicken feed with the chickens. He thought he was a chicken. The naturalist took the bird on top of the roof of the house, and he tried once again. He lifted him up and said, you are an eagle. Stretch your wings and fly. But the eagle seemed to be afraid of his unknown self in the world, and he jumped down one more time to be with the chickens. Finally, the naturalist took him on top of a high mountain, and he did one more time. He said, you are king of all the birds, eagle, you belong to the air. And he lifted him up. He said, stretch forth your wings and fly. And he lifted him up as high as he could and start kind of doing this type of thing. And finally, it started to happen. The eagle began to tremble, and he stretched forth his great wings, and he soared into the heavens. It may be that the eagle still remembers the chickens with nostalgia. Maybe he goes back to the barnyard every once in a while to visit. But as far as anyone knows, he has never returned to live the life of a chicken. Sometimes we live the lives of chickens, not understanding that we are really eagles, meant to soar in the love of God by His grace and to have eternal fellowship with Him. We live according to the identities too often that other people give to us by their labels and how they treat us, or by the circumstances in our lives, and we forget our true identities that are given to us by God. What is my identity? What's your identity? My dad's mother's family was from Scotland. My dad's father's family was from Holland. All my entire mother's side of the family were all Germans. They all came from Germany. So I guess that makes me a Scotch, Dutch, German American. Okay, kind of a Heinz 57. When I went to Scotland one time, these are the actual kilts, the colors of my clan, the Hendersons, from the Shetland Islands. That's their tartar. Everybody has their own tartar, their own pattern, their own color. Ours is green with some little yellow in it and everything. So I was kind of proud to touch base with that part of my heritage. There's other people that are very proud of being like this runner, Mexican-American. He's got flags of both countries. Well, there's people that are proud to be Salvadoran American, Guatemalan American, African American, you know, Native American, Thai American, like my oldest brother's wife and now their children. It's an important part of our identity, no doubt. Our ethnicity and our culture. And I love our nation for that, right? We're unlike any nation on earth in that way. We have such a multiplicity of languages and cultures. And it's wonderful. That's why I love living in big cities. Man, L.A., what a great blessing we have. You can get any kind of ethnic food or anything you want within a very short distance, right? I think it's wonderful. But it's not the totality of our identity, right? There's something to our identity that goes beyond ethnicity and nation and all of that. Sometimes we define ourselves often. One of the first questions when we get to know someone is what? What do you do? As if we're human doings and not human beings, right? What do you do? And that's okay. We should be proud of what we do. Our jobs, our occupations, whether we're, I could say I'm a nurse or I'm a doctor or I'm a teacher or I'm a person who cleans houses, I'm a farm worker, whatever, I'm a pastor, whatever it is. And that is part of who we are. And it's good to have an occupation to serve people and to make a living. But again, our occupation is not the totality of who we really are. It's not our total identity. When we ask the question, who am I? We need to remember that we are not just equal to our ethnicity, our occupation, our political point of view, and somehow there's something missing, I think, there, but that's okay. Our physical characteristics, our weaknesses, our personality type, these are all part of what make us up, right? Our experiences and everything in life. But think of what happens when we start putting people in a box and identifying them with just one characteristic, right? With their looks or their weight or some personality characteristic they have that irritates us. That's the person who, whatever, I put in the blank. We don't do a very good job. We don't do justice to that person, do we? We don't maybe love them and accept them fully as someone that's a child of God beyond all labels, beyond all these things. What is your identity? In John chapter 15, Jesus tells us, first of all, in John 21, he tells us that we are the people that Jesus loves, John 15. Love one another as I have loved you. That's our primary identity. We are the people that Christ loves. And then he also uses a word in that text. Did you catch it? I don't call you servant, just servants any longer. You're my friends. There's no greater love than someone will lay down their life for their friends, and that's what I've done for you, just so you could be my friend, just so I could purchase you for all eternity as my friend forever. I can enjoy your company and all your personality characteristics. Jesus is not irritated by us. He loves us completely, unconditionally. We are Christ beloved. That is our identity. I want you to say that with me. I want you to say with me, I am Christ beloved. Ready? I am Christ beloved. And your bookmark is a way of remembering this. Now it's not working. Well, I guess I'll go on without the PowerPoint now. It was working earlier. All right. Sorry. Try to use technology, and then sometimes it doesn't work. And I don't want to keep saying next slide because that's irritating. But okay, so you'll see there's three signs with three words on the first part of the bookmark, loved. And these are things that you can help remind you each day, and it can be even a tool if you want to share the love of Jesus with someone. We are the people God loves. How do we know that? First of all, we know that by the manger that shows us the presence of Christ with us. The manger where Christ comes down to us, okay, and becomes one of us, is born as a human that he might draw near to us to be with us, God with us. He's called Emmanuel, God with us, and to be our Savior. Next is the cross. It doesn't show up real well in that black, on that blue, but the cross tells us of God's pardon of our sins. Jesus goes to the cross to take our sins into himself as if they were his own. And because he is the perfect Son of God who obeyed God the Father perfectly, his sacrifice counted for us. He was able to take all of our sins and therefore our punishment upon himself so that you and I don't need to go through that punishment. And the crown tells us of Christ's power. He did not remain dead, but he rose up from the dead, showing us that he has power over Satan and sin and death, and giving us that power over sin and Satan and death as we trust in him as our Savior. Because of the manger and the cross and the crown, because of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, we can know for certain that we are Christ beloved. This is proof. Gregory Boyle is a pastor, was a skeptic at one time in his life, became a Christian. He's a pastor now, and he also ministers to people in prison and other ministries, and he writes lots of books now. And he tells a touching story about a 15-year-old gang member named Rigo. Rigo was getting ready for a special worship service that Mr. Boyd was leading in a place where youth were incarcerated, a prison for youth. And as he was getting ready, he was talking with Rigo, and he asked Rigo, is your father going to be able to attend worship today? And he said, this is a summary of their conversation. He said, he's a heroin addict and has never been a part of my life, so no, I haven't seen him since I was little. He's not going to be here today. And then something snapped in Rigo as he started thinking about his father, and he started crying and sobbing almost inconsolably, talked about how his father beat him. And he said, one day, he says, I think it was the fourth grade, I came home, I was asked to leave school early in midday, and my father asked me, why are you home early? And I was afraid to tell him because he always beat me. But I said to him, I'll tell you if you promise not to hit me. And the father promised. So he told him what happened. And then all of a sudden, Rigo started just weeping and weeping and weeping. He could not talk for a long time. Pastor Boyd just put his arm around him and said nothing for a while. Just was there with him. And when he calmed down, he finally said, he beat me with a pipe. With a pipe. After Rigo composed himself, then Pastor Boyd asked him about his mother. How about your mother? And he pointed to a little lady sitting there not too far away and said, there she is over there, and there's no one like her in the world. He says, I've been in this place for a year and a half now, and she comes to visit me every Sunday. And do you know how many buses she takes to come to see me? And then he starts crying again. He can't help himself. 7 buses. She takes 7 buses every Sunday just to get here to see me. And Pastor Boy concludes this story with an analogy. God, as revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ, is like Rigo's mother. God is the one who will take 7 buses just to come to us. He will do everything it takes. He will stop at nothing to find us and bring us home. Even kicking and screaming, rebellious children that we are, he's not going to take no for an answer. He's like that hound dog that won't stop until it retrieves the bird. He keeps after us and after us and after us because he wants our hearts. He wants us as his friends. That's how much he loves us. That's how much you and I are worth in his eyes. He came all the way down. He's the one that goes on a journey of love until he finds us. Remember what he says today in the gospel? You didn't choose me. I chose you. I came for you to bring you to God and by my Spirit to bring you to faith in me. Just rely on me and you know you have a friend for eternity. We are Christ's beloved. That's who we are. Don't ever forget it. So what's our purpose? That's the next question we have to ask. If our identity are those that God loves in Jesus, what's our purpose in life? Is it to make as much money as we can so we can take life easy and just kind of pamper ourselves? And you know, is that the purpose of life? A lot of people tell you it is if you listen. Is it our purpose of life to be entertained? Is there a book, what was it called? Entertained to Death or something like that. It's like, is our purpose in life just to kind of not be useful for God, but just to hang out and be entertained by whatever it is. Is that our purpose? Or is it our purpose to do whatever we have to do to get everyone to like us, manipulate people if we have to, or whatever it takes so that we can be put on a pedestal and everybody can adore us? Is that our purpose in life? According to John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus says this to his disciples after he rises from the dead: "Just as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And then he tells us in today's gospel and many other places what that means. It means, first of all, love each other like I have loved. That means don't count the cost and add everything up and decide if someone's worth your love, if someone's worth your forgiveness. You love and you forgive unconditionally. Just because I did that for you, and I still do it for you. Love as I love. Do what you can to alleviate suffering, to visit the lonely, to befriend the unfriendly, to reach out, like Pastor Boyd did, to people that are incarcerated, to be with someone in their grief, to be Jesus for them, to feed the hungry, to do whatever we can to alleviate suffering, to befriend the outcast and the bullied, and not be part of that culture. Then Jesus also tells us part of what that means as well. Acts chapter 1. "Now you are to be my witnesses." A witness, just like in court, just tells the truth to someone about what they know, what they've experienced. And that's what we're to do. We're to be the witnesses in the world, to tell people what we know and have experienced with Jesus. Very simple. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be a pastor with a doctorate or a master's degree in theology or whatever to tell people about Jesus. All right? That's what this is about. The other side, by the way. See that? Sent? See the blanks? What do you think that's for? That's so you can, when you go home later maybe, or you can start now if you want, write down names of people you know in your spheres of influence that don't have a living relationship with Jesus Christ, people who don't come to any church. Put their name down. That's the easy part, right? Then pray for them. Just pray for them every day. Pray that they might come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then when you get the courage and ask God, pray for yourself. Share your love of Jesus, Jesus' love for you and for them. You can even use this bookmark. Because Jesus came for us, because he died for us, because he rose for us. He gives us eternal life. And I want you to know this, my friend. Very simple. And or invite them to come with you to church if they don't have a church. Invite them to come to youth group. Last Friday time we had youth group, we had two visitors with us. Our youth group are doing a good job of bringing people. And I've asked them. They don't really have real active churches. And so they came to be part of our group. And I hear that there might be a third visitor this week too. So they're leading by example, you know. So we are loved by God, by his grace, through Jesus, by his manger, his cross, his resurrection. It shows us his love. Now we're empowered to be sent. It's not just the pastor's job. I am here to equip, to encourage, to do whatever I can to equip you that you might reach out to others and invite them in, that we might win people for Christ and love people and serve their needs. In his precious name, amen.